One of the things I love about God is that his name is not just a personal pronoun, but it's actually who he is. We sing that God is our healer, that Jesus is our healer. We're not just talking about a name that he has that we can call him, but it's actually who he is and it's what he does. And this week, this morning, a couple testimonies that came in. One, a friend of mine just heard this morning was at his house and he was having some major back pain. And he told the couple that was with him and they said, hey, why don't we just pray for it? Actually down here, these guys down here. They just said, hey, can we just pray for your back at a house? You know, you can pray outside of church. Somebody say amen to that, right? And so they're like, yeah, let's pray. And so they prayed for his back and man, he said the power of God came upon him and totally healed him, right? In a moment. Like, it's amazing, isn't it? God so never gets old. And then even in my own house, last week, when we were gathering on Sunday, we prayed second service. We had people stand for healing. And I was at home taking a little nap, and I woke up, and my wife, Kate, down here, she said, Derek, you know how my hip has been hurting really bad for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks? And she said, I didn't realize it, but I have no pain right now at all. No pain at all. And yeah, we should praise the Lord. So like, I don't know about you, but like, I don't want to just sing words on a song to say, God, you're a healer, and not really believe he heals. Like, I think he's inviting us to say, man, my name is healer. Like, you can sing songs about me. You can preach sermons about me. But do you really want me to be your healer? Do you really believe that I can still heal today? Do you really believe that I can lift your burden? Like, we're not just gathered together doing some mental exercise this morning. We're not just gathered around a philosophy of, man, that sounds great. No, he's like, I'm a real person and I'm in the room. And today I want to show you who I am. And so just like we did last week, I just feel like maybe this is a season where the Lord wants to pour out his healing. And I don't care if you've been prayed 1,000 times. I mean, I've seen God after, I mean, I prayed for Kate, I don't know, probably 30 times the last 6 weeks. And then she stands in a Sunday morning service, doesn't even feel anything, comes home and says, man, I got no pain. No pain. Still to this day, no pain. And so if you need healing in your body, would you just raise your hand? We're going to be church again. We're going to be a house of prayer. I don't care if you've said, hey, every time Derek's ever led us in prayer for healing, I've raised my hand. Go ahead and raise your hand again. So if that's you, raise your hand up really high. And if you're around them, just look around. We're going to be family this morning. This is a church family. This is not a business. It's not an organization. So we got people from the balcony. I know we probably got some guests, and maybe this is weird for you, but we like full contact church, right, church? We like full contact. We want to experience God, not just talk about him. So we got some people in the balcony. If we could have some people just put a hand on their shoulder here. We got a gentleman right here. I know it may be different for you, and you're like, I don't know about this. I don't even know if I believe God heals. Let me tell you, like, God can heal even through your prayer of unbelief. Lord, help me in my unbelief, right? Help me in my, it's a little size face. So everybody, yeah, we got somebody up here. Yeah, love it. This is what church is, by the way. It's not a bunch of rows looking at a person on a stage. It's a family. It's the people of God coming together and believing God. So let's just pray right now. Just thank the Lord right now. If you need healing, just let's thank the Lord. We just sang a song that you're our healer. Let's thank Jesus that he is our healer. That by his stripes, we've already been healed. We've already been healed. He's already paid the price for all of our wholeness. So Lord, we thank you. We just set our mind on truth that you are our healer. Not just words on a screen, not just name, but you are our healer. And so Lord, it's by grace, that it's expression of your love, that you would heal our bodies. And so we just ask in faith for those that are raising their hand, that you would come upon them right now with the power of your spirit. We bless you. We bless you. And if you're receiving prayer, just put your hand on wherever needs healing and just thank the Lord for his healing power. Just right now, just wherever it is on your body that needs healing, if you got pain, if you've had some kind of doctor's report, just we've seen so many things. Just reminded even this week, we prayed for a lady that had cancer and right over here in this corner. And there's a group of us prayed. And then she goes back to the doctor and the doctor's like, I have a scan that shows you have cancer, but you don't have cancer anymore. Like, this is who God is. It's not just a concept. He's a real person who heals. And so if you're praying for somebody, just bless them right now. Father, I bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we sing in his name. We're going to pray in Jesus' name for healing. for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that you see us, that you understand our physical bodies. You understand what it's like to go through pain and loss. You died to make us whole. Amen, amen. And then one more thing. We had somebody share just a word of knowledge this morning around God lifting off heaviness. And it's awesome. They didn't even know they were singing this song, but lifting off heaviness or even just lifting off things that keep you stuck. Have you ever been stuck before? I've been stuck before in a season where it's like, I don't even know how to move forward. If that's you today, I just want you to put your hand on your heart. We're just activating faith in the room. That's all we're doing. People call us foolish, but man, I would rather be foolish and full of faith. Amen. Like, who knows? Like, if we don't give space for God, man, maybe we, I don't know. Yeah. So, Lord, I thank you that you are the lifter of our heads. Or just as we just sang, powerful words that we speak your name over depression. I feel like the joy of the Lord, he just wants to rain down on some of us today. Just invite you, Holy Spirit. Where there's darkness, where there's heaviness, that you would have let the light of heaven shine in right now. That you just receive from the Lord right now. If you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling like there's no way to move forward, just set your eyes on Jesus. Receive from him this morning. This room, we just bind the liar, the one who accuses us, the accuser of the brethren, and we just rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Just if that's you today, just say, no more, Satan. It's so powerful that you make that confession. No more, Satan. I'm not going to listen to your lies anymore. I'm not going to listen to your words of accusation and deception. Jesus, we know that you are the truth and you lead us into truth and you set us free through your truth. And so, Lord, would you right now, for those that are dealing with heaviness, dealing with just the burden of the weight of things, situations, and relationships and whatnot, would you right now, would you speak to them? And so if that's you today, just ask the Lord what he wants you to know right now. Just release your peace, your joy. Dave, would you just mind playing something a little stronger? And just feel like the Lord really does want to release us. And even in the scriptures, I'm just reminded of David, how Saul was just struggling with all these spiritual things, these things in his mind. And he would bring in David, this little shepherd boy, and he would play before the Lord. And I just feel like even right now, take a step of faith. And we're just going to ask Dave here. By the way, I love Dave. So glad you're here, Dave. But I'm going to ask him just to play over those that are just feeling. We're just going to watch the spirit of heaviness. It's going to lift off some people this morning. I just feel like the Lord. I don't even care about preaching, whatever. I'll get to that in a moment. And I'll change it and not hold you too long. I know we got football going on, right? So if you're new here, it's all right. We don't have an agenda here that we got to move quickly through. We just feel like the Lord just is inviting us to be with him. And I know it's different than, you know, maybe we've even done in the past. You're like, why are we still here? Just trying to step with the Lord. And so, Dave, would you just play something? And I just, if that's you today, can we just let the spirit of heaviness lift off of you? David prophesied with his instruments. Like Dave right now is prophesying that the heaviness is lifting off you right now. The peace of God that surpasses understanding. It goes beyond our intellect, our ability to understand, and yet that's what he offers us today, that we give up our ability to understand and we just receive from him. Lord, lifting off any kind of suicidal thoughts. release it. If that's you today, just put your hands out. Just release your burdens to the Lord today. I just feel like he's doing it. I don't know. He's just doing it. For those that would just release it to him, he's taking it away. Come on. He's the God of the instead. Joy instead of mourning. Some of you have been in a season of mourning, and he said, today is the instead. There's joy today. It's beauty from ashes. The season that you've walked through has not been wasted. The Lord says it's prepared you for the next season. Spirit, continue to come. I feel like he's ministering to the people. If it's you today, just continue to read. There's no formula. So Holy Spirit, would you continue to minister down deep? If he's ministering to you tonight, I continue to receive it. He's doing things internally, shifting things, changing minds, setting direction. Outside of our boxes so often. Forgive us for trying to confine you into this pristine, little, perfectly predictable God. And we receive from you today. That's our job as children, to receive from you. So we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your sweet, sweet presence, your Spirit of God that's with us. Jesus, thank you that you are a person, that you've been walking in the midst of this room today. I pray that you would seal in what you've been depositing in many of those in the room right now. Just tell us, all of the room, let's just tell the Lord thank you, and then we're going to move on to the word, but just say thank you to the Lord. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. It's in Jesus' powerful name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. David, thank you, man. Beautiful, man. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. How many of you know God is a mystery? And how many of you know God does not need hype? Amen. He does not need no hype, does he? Oh, my goodness. What he's looking for is individuals and communities that are willing to yield to him. That are willing to adjust to him, to listen to his voice, and to step in faith. And so if you're new here with us, we say welcome. We are learning what it means to be a people that follow God. We are learning. So if you want to have a church that knows it all and has it all figured out, you're at the wrong church. I'm sorry. Like, it's not it. Like, I always say, like, we are running an experiment here of what it looks like for a people to give an ear to God and then have a heart to obey him. Do you know that was what God's desire is for you today? Is that you would hear his voice and not harden your heart, but that you would yield to him because he is good. Anybody else believe that God is good today? He's good, he's good. And when he speaks, it's good. He's the giver of all good things. And so today, I'm going to definitely modify my message for you guys. If you want to go get the whole thing, you can check it out on YouTube, the first service. But I do want to get into the scripture. So, man, get your Bible out if you have one. If you don't have one, we got them out in the guest welcome. Or you can grab your phone and do the Bible app, not your fantasy football app. Watch your injuries. Make subs before 1 o'clock. We can laugh in church too, can't we? We try not to take ourselves too seriously. Today, I want to talk about change again. Change, and I want to talk about changing our view of how does the church collaborate? Stop. Collaborate and. Derek's back with a brand new invention. Come on. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk about how we view collaboration within the church. I think it's essential. And so I'm going to read a lengthier part of scripture here that is so beautiful that Paul gives us. This is him talking about the church. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one." That's the theme. There are many members, but there's one body. "So it is with Christ, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, all were made to drink of one Holy Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you,' nor again the head to the feet, saying, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body." God has composed the body. You hear that? God has composed the body. We're not talking about a body, we're talking about the church here. He has composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division. Everybody say no division. No division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. This is a beautiful section of scripture talking about the church. The body is the church, and who's the head of the church? Christ Jesus. This is what we read in Ephesians, that he is the head of the church, and all of us are growing into the likeness of the head, which is Christ Jesus. And what I want you to see in this text quickly today is that collaboration is essential for the church to be all that God designed it to be. That the church is diverse. The church is made up of individual people that have anointings, giftings, perspective, and all of those, when they come together, are part of the body. Each individual member comes together to make one body. And so what we see Paul is clearly saying is that we need one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I need you." Now turn to the other neighbor and say, "You need me." Yeah, this is the church, by the way. The church was never meant to be really boiled down to some talking head on a stage or a band that can lead us in worship. This is not the church. The church is the body of Christ made up of many people. And what he says is, man, there's some people that have different roles and responsibilities. So what we need is we need everybody. Somebody say, we need everybody. We need everybody, the church, to be everything that God designed it to be, which is the vessel by which the kingdom of God is expressed and established in advance. The kingdom of God is expressed through the church. It's not the church, by the way. The kingdom of God is not the church, but it's expressed through, it's advanced through. And so for us to do that, we need everybody. We have to collaborate. We have to stop, collaborate, and listen. Wow, that got deep real fast. And what we know is that the church is best when everyone is offering themselves for the good of the whole. The church is best when all of us bring our best and we serve one another, we encourage one another, We lift one another up. We're best together. The church flourishes, is healthy, is effective, and the community is blessed when all of us bring our best to the table. That's why we talk about this idea that the Western church has oftentimes become a buffet model of church where we come on Sunday and we gorge ourselves on the spiritual things that we like. Oh, they sang my favorite song. Praise Jesus. Oh, man, the pastor read my life verse. Thank you, God. You heard my prayer. That those aren't bad things, but that is a poor view of the church. If it's all about what can the church do for me? How can the pastor entertain me today? How can the worship team, like how can they make me feel all the warm and fuzzies? If that's our view of church, we've missed the point of the Bible. See, the church was never meant to be a buffet. It was meant to be a potluck. Who's ever been to a good potluck? Come on now. Man, I love me some good potlucks. I love the fried chicken. I love the shaved ham. I love the fried okra. Somebody say amen to that. Come on now. Sweet potato casserole with pecans. Not marshmallows though. Don't be doing that to my sweet potato casserole. Butter, lots of butter. Jesus, thank you for that. What's a potluck is where all of us bring our best to the dinner and all of us enjoy everybody's best. And because of that, we're better for it. That's the picture Paul is painting here of what the church looks like. All of us are important to the church. You're like, what about me? Yeah, yes, you. And the church is not fully functioning as it should unless you are bringing your best to the table. If you are not at the table offering your best to the Lord, the church is not at its full potential. All of us matter. All of us actually have a role to play. Every one of us, it's a potluck and not a buffet. And we as a church, we're trying to learn what that means. You know, people think the larger the church, the harder that is. And I'm just saying, I don't believe that. I'm not claiming that for our church. Like, I believe that we're in a season where no longer will 20% of the people pay for everything at a church. Some of y'all is gonna hit you later. I believe we're past the days where 20% of the people serve in all the areas that the church needs. I believe we're past the days where 20% of the people do all the work. I believe what God wants, what he's always wanted, is all of us to come and engage and be part of what he's doing on the earth. Not watching, not just kind of going along, but all of us fully engaged, part of the body. And what I believe about the body is that there's nothing that can stand against the church. That the power of hell, the gates of hell, will not prevail against the people of God. Does anybody else believe that? Like, we can say that we believe that, and I do believe that. I believe that the brightest days of the church are before us, not behind us. But here's the thing. Although the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, you know what can stand against the church? The church. Now, how many know Satan has already been defeated? Anybody else? We just sang that song, right? He's defeated. He got no feet left. He's done. So he's defeated. He's a lot shorter than he used to be. You didn't know the dad jokes were coming today, did you? But how many of you know the church can sometimes be our own worst enemy? Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So in this same passage, the same letter that Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, earlier in this letter, he exhorts them and tells them how incredible they're doing and how much grace of God is upon them early in the letter. And so he's encouraging them. Then he gets to chapter 3 and he has a word for them that's a hard word. And I think it's a word for this time and this day in our country. He says this, he says, but I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people. I couldn't even call you spiritual people. Oh, man. I couldn't even address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you aren't ready for it, for you are still of the flesh. For a while, this is how he knows he's of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not operating in human ways or of the flesh and behaving as only humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? It says, what then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants that through whom you believed to preach the gospel and you believed as the Lord assigned to you? I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive their wages according to their labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. See, what happens when the church, and I'm not even talking about just like our local church, but the church, what happens, can happen in here is that comparison kills collaboration and stifles innovation. You see this earlier in the chapter 12, that Paul's like, man, the eye shouldn't say I should be a nose, or the foot shouldn't say I should be the head. He's like, no, don't try to be something you're not. Be who I made you to be, and that's what we believe at this church. Our desire is that we would equip you and empower you to be everything that God made you to be, not who you want to be, or not who you think you should be. And so the church, man, when we're at our best, everybody knows their identity. We hear from the Lord. We're walking in freedom everywhere we go. But he says, be careful, because what kills the church is comparison. You trying to be like somebody else. You trying to look at yourself compared to this person. You know, how are they doing? What's their, you know, life? Comparison kills us. And then we see Paul, he says this, that be careful that you don't allow team names to be prioritized over the kingdom of God. See, prioritizing team names, it hinders the move of God. When we allow labels to define us, team names to define us, we miss out on the maturity that God wants to lead us into. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm more charismatic. I'm contemplative. I'm non-denominational. I'm conservative. I'm progressive. I'm Republican. I'm Democrat. I'm done with it all. See, when we allow our labels to supersede our call as children of God, we limit the power of God that wants to flow through us and in us. And so Paul addresses these guys and saying, guys, listen, stop being little whiny babies. Like, stop trying to get your identity from a man or a woman. Stop trying to say, I'm with this person. No. They're one to begin with, because it is one body. What are you trying to do? You're trying to separate what's not even separated. And so he says, man, we are one body. Remember, it is God that gives the growth. It is God that builds the church, right? It's never meant to be a man. And so he says, be careful that we don't allow these team names to be above and beyond and kind of what gives us identity, and then we start fighting. And he says, be careful with that, because it's really about immaturity. It's showing how immature you are. And yet we're called to be different. You see, I believe that only a united church can offer unity to a divided world. That only a united church can offer unity to a divided world. We don't have to look far. We know that there's all kinds of division, even in our own country, in our own city, in our families. There's so much perception of division. And what I believe is that the world is looking for an alternative. The world is looking for, is there a model out there of somebody who walks in unity? And what did God call the church? The city on the hill. A united church gives hope to a divided world. Somebody else say amen to that? But the problem I see is that we can't offer transformation to a world when we look identical to the world. How can the church, I'm not even talking about Christ, I'm saying the church, often today I'm talking about the church, universal church. When the church is so internally divided, how in the world could we offer transformation to the world that is already divided? One of the things that I think breaks the father's heart so deeply is when he sees his kids dividing his church. You don't have to look very far, and you know that the church over the history has been marked with deep division, deep separation, lots of drama, lots of killing people in the name of Jesus. And you don't have to look online very far until you see people under the name of Jesus hating and condemning other people that say they also love Jesus. I just want you to know there's no collaboration when that's happening. And I also want you to know we need one another. It's not just like the local collaboration in this community, although we're cultivating this community to collaborate and to love one another and to build up one another, but in the Tri-Cities, for God to do what he wants to do, it's not going to come through a single church. And that means there's some collaboration that needs to take place. And I feel like the Father's heart is saying, no more little empires, no more, you know, I got my area. You know, he's like, we need to kill the walls, the dividing walls that he's already torn down. We just need to live like they're torn down. And yet we can't do that, though, if we're living with immature faith, okay? So I'm going to read just two texts here that are a little challenging for us, but I'm feeding you some meat today. Does anybody else want some meat today? Some meat, because I don't want us to stay immature. I want us to continue. And I'm not calling anybody immature. I'm just saying the church in general, I don't want us to stay immature when God is saying, come on up, I want you to mature your faith. And so let me just read to you James chapter 3, a couple little portions of this. He says, first, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly. It's the ways of the world. It's unspiritual and it's demonic. What is demonic? Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Self-protection, self-promotion, comparing myself to other people, comparing my church to another, comparing what I think to another person. When we do that for our personal gain, he said it's earthly, it's of the world, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. He says, for where these things happen, there is all kinds of disorder in every vile practice. How many of you know there's some pretty vile things that are happening in organized religion? And how do we get there? Well, we get there when we have jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. That opens the gate for every kind of vile practice. So where do we get to today? Well, it goes back to man. Where do we have selfish ambition and jealousy? That's where it began. And so then we go back to read verse 9, and I love this. So he's talking about our words and how we use them. And he says, with our mouth, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. So let me just give this to you today. He says, like on Sunday morning for your hour and 15, maybe an hour and 20 today, we worship the Lord. We bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. No, that's all. We bless the Lord. And then Monday rolls around and we're blowing up our coworker and we're cursing them and calling them names to their face or behind their back. So this is practical. Like this isn't just like some pie in the sky. No, like maturity in Christ is practical. He says, man, with your mouth, you bless the Lord on Sunday morning. Yes, Lord. And then you go blow somebody up on the keyboard. And look what he says. He says, from the same mouth come blessing and curses. He said, my brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? I want you to know this as much as I can in a loving way, that cursing people that are wrong, aka different than me, is not the way of Jesus and never will be. Cursing people, and that doesn't mean like literally cursing them. It means gossip, slander, name calling, any way that you're speaking about them that would not align with the Father who created them in his image is wrong 100% of the time. And that goes for in the church. Well, they believe something different than me, or they're doing something different than me. That's great. Never okay to curse them. That goes for politics. Listen, there are some things happening in our country. I don't know if you know, there's some division in politics right now. No matter how adamant you are against whatever view somebody else has, it is never the way of Jesus to curse somebody else. Ever. So once again, I'm calling us to maturity, to not be immature where there's division, where there's all kinds of craziness going. No, I'm saying, church, let's lift up our heads and let's walk the way of Jesus and not enter into the ways of this world. Collaboration. Stop. Collaborate. And listen. It's what God has for us today. And so here's two questions that I want to leave you with. How do we talk about other Jesus followers that think different than we do? Maybe they worship a little different than us. Maybe they prioritize something different. Maybe they just view the scriptures sometimes, which, by the way, has happened since the scriptures were written. There's different views on scriptures. There's colleges that teach the exact opposite, seminaries that teach opposing views. So how do we treat people that think differently than us? And let me leave you with these two things, with collaboration. Philippians 2. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. If you want to grow in the likeness of Christ, if you want to grow into the maturity of faith, humility is required. If you want to collaborate with people, humility is required, because you know what? People are hard. Can we just say it? That's true. Like, people can be hard. People are challenging sometimes, and yet we're called one body, one. Individual members want to work together, to collaborate. And to do that, it requires a ton of humility, And it requires one other thing that I think is essential, and that's 1 Peter 4:8. It says, above everything else that we've talked about today, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We talk about that word sin. It really, at its core in the scriptures, means separation. So think about all the ways that we separate as human beings. Think about how we separate in our little religious factions and belief systems, and the way we separate for countless reasons. What covers all the ways that we separate? Love. Above all these, continue to love one another. See, Christ is our model for what it looks like to walk in maturity. And how many of you know Jesus was different than every single one of us? Oh my goodness, he was different in every single way. He was perfect. I don't know about you, but your spouse will tell you, you're not perfect. And yet, how did he deal with the separation? How did he deal with all the ways that we think differently than him? How did he deal with all the ways that we act differently than him? How did he do it? He loved us when we were at our worst. Anybody else have been loved when you're at your worst? This is what Christ did for us. And now he says, I want you to do that to the world. You're like, it's not easy. Yeah, I know. It's so much easier just to talk about people and to tell people how bad they are and how wrong they are. And he says, though, above all else, he said, continue to love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins or separation. Collaboration. Humility and love. Humility and love. That's the way of Jesus. So what I want to do is, closing out today, we're going to have our ministry team come up in just a moment, but I just want us to pray for other churches this morning. We do this on a regular basis, but we're passionate about seeing the church of the Tri-Cities to collaborate more and more. That's why a few years ago, we partnered with Celebration Church and had one gathering, Pentecost Sunday, because we never want to be a people that have high walls that don't let people in. Amen. We want to be people that tear down walls and join together. That's why in our prayer rooms, we oftentimes have different worship leaders from different churches come. Different people praying, because we just believe it's important that we don't just talk about these things in unity, but we actually begin to live them out. And so right now, we're just going to close the service up with just praying a blessing over another church. Maybe it's a church you used to go to, and regardless of what your experience, I know some of you had some rough experiences. Some of you had great experiences. You just thought it was time for change. Maybe you just take a moment, you bless the Lord for allowing you to have that church, that family. Or maybe you live close to a church on the way in here today, you see a church, or your way out, you see a church. Let's just take a moment and just bless the church, because there is one body. How many bodies are there? One body. And lots of variation, lots of differences. Oh my goodness, so diverse, and God loves all that. But there's one body, and so we want to be a church that doesn't curse, but we bless, because we don't want to be both salt water and fresh water. We want to be what God is. So let's just take a moment, just by name, if there's a church that comes to mind, I just want you to bless them, thank the Lord for them. Yeah, we thank you, Lord, for the church, the universal church of Jesus Christ. All the different diversity and variations, and we thank you that you're calling us to a season. In this season, I believe that you're calling the church to be united, to give a hope to the world, a hope to divided world, a hope to divided nation. So Lord, we want to be part of that. We want to be on the forefront of seeing your church united in the right region. So Lord, teach us to walk in humility. Teach us to allow the love that we've experienced and received from you to be that which flows, that covers a multitude of sins. Lord, we just confess, we don't want to be an immature people. We don't want to just stay on milk. We want to be a people that are able to receive the meat of heaven, that walk in maturity, that are growing into your likeness, and that are making a difference in our community. So Lord, would you unite the church of Kingsport, Johnson City, and Bristol? Would we see more and more collaboration, working together, encouraging one another? Would you do that? Lord, we just say we want to be part of it. We want to be part of it. So we honor you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the perfect collaboration, the perfect model for collaboration. May we look more and more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We got our ministry team that's going to come up here. If you need prayer for anything, specifically we prayed earlier for people that are feeling heavy or heavy burdened, feel like you're stuck, or if you need physical healing, we'd love to pray for that. But if there's any other need you have, man, we would love to add our faith to your faith. We love you guys. We're so grateful you joined us today. We look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great day.